of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We listen to God's word from Joshua 24. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord or serve other gods." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word, which remains in eternity. Lord, open our ears and our hearts that we will hear what you have got to say to us. Lord Heavenly Father, grant us your Holy Spirit, that he will strengthen our faith and trust in your Son Jesus Christ as our only Lord and Savior, now and forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. First Moses dies, and then Joshua. That's the framework of the sixth book of the Bible, which we have here before us. This book, Joshua. It's a history long gone. But the shadows fall deep into our age too. Not only if you're an Afrikaner like Evie de Klerk, but also if you're an African like Thabo Mbeki. So I presume that this old book talks loud and clear to all of us in this room, and perhaps even to some outsiders. We live in a revolutionary age. The old is gone, the new has come. Well, not quite, but we're getting there. Rhodes had to fall, but so do Stradom, Tertius, Paul Kruger, and some smaller spirits, be it in the mother city of Cape Town, or in this capital still named Pretoria, although the struggle to call it Tshwane is even older than this seminary of ours, or even in that venerable center of academia, Oxford, where recipients of the Rhodes Scholarship are running storm against the very founder and donor of their carefree and sponsored life. Yes, we live in a transitory life. People just love change as long as it is demanded from others and they themselves don't need to change. The old is not quite gone. There are still the ghosts of our colonial past dawdling around, and sadly not only in that grim Voortrekker monument. Just listen to the voice of that master colonist, de Klerk, from yesteryear, even yesterday, whose speech I just read this morning. On the other side, the new colonists are not yet so firmly entrenched by their ever gracious and inviting hosts like Zumzum, whose forebears invited and sponsored the British invaders into Zululand in the 19th century already, and were back then rewarded for this little act of high treason and opportunistic betrayal with land called Nkankla by these grateful conquerors from that far away island up north, who were not just striving to build a railroad from Cape to Cairo, but an empire across the globe. Never mind what the Aborigines, First Nations, natives, locals, or indigenous people thought, said, or did. Well, this Kankla tradition of resourceful cooperation or corrupt buccaneering and dishonest opportunism with the colonists probably dates back to the very days Van Riebeck landed and started dialogue, exchange and fair trade, or was it just plain coercion with those strandlopers and Hottentots of the Fair Cape of Good Hope in 1652? And further back too, I imagine. Because people are prone to do wrong, wired to make sinful change, take sinful chances, and even go in straight rebellion and opposition to the living God. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. This sinful way of opportunistic self-enrichment continues as our president courts the Guptas, the Russian Tsar, and countless Chinese, or have you counted them, in the presidential courts and international centers of power like Davos. Come in, make yourselves at home. Feel at home. It's yours. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Yes, colonialism goes far back. The juicy pieces from the rich man's table fall even as far as Angola or Sudan, so that they, be they called Dos Santos or the Bashir, can continue with their evil ways of exploitation of their own people and even get away with murder and genocide. There is a bag full of millions, we read yesterday. There's a free ticket to ride and escape prosecution by the international court, of which we no longer want to be members. See, that is the course of the world. The Israelites have a long history that goes even beyond Van Riebeck. Their troubles were not caused by Van Riebeck, at least. They were slaves in Egypt long, long ago, before the colonists came to South Africa. Later on, they were free, masters and colonizers themselves. What a change of fate. It seems like the course of history. The slaves of yesteryear become the masters and overlords today and tomorrow. What goes up must come down. What is down will go up eventually, at least sometimes, even if it takes time and a war or two, and then what seems to be fixed in stone is again just passing, like the Roman Empire, or the British one, or the Soviet one, for that matter. And that which seemed to be just an idea, a fleeting fancy in the past, gets real, tangible, something everybody can see, touch, and feel. But that too will pass like the mountains and oceans, the high heavens and the unending skies, until his kingdom comes and Jesus Christ judges living and the dead. All will pass one day, but God's word will never pass away. He lives now and forever, and therefore you've got hope for eternal life too. He wants you to live with him forever also. So Israel are the one own people of God, chosen, elected by the highest God, with a much more holy calling, much higher calling than the one of being a free Roman citizen like St. Paul, who was so proud for that, or British like David Livingstone, or Zulu like Buthelezi. Long before their dismal sojourn in Egypt, long ago when God called Abraham, not because they were so special and great, but because they were especially small and most insignificant. Everyone should realize that Israel was what it was because of its connection to the living God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That was the deciding difference to all other nations. The one and only God, no other God beside him, very jealous of this exclusive position he was. All others were but effigies, idols, dummies really, even if they had high and mighty names like Zeus, Thor, Allah, or Krishna, and have millions of followers. God describes this through his faithful servant Joshua preaching to the Israelites at Shechem. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him through Canaan and gave him many descendants. Colonizer? Well, Eric, you will tell us. You know these things. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. Was he but a refugee? Or was he a colonizer already? Sinner and just at the same time? Or is this more complicated even than that difficult, systematic way of putting things? I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there. And I brought you out, God the Savior, from slavery, the great liberator. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, these Israelites did, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them, covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. That's the long story short. Now the Israelites knew this off by heart. This is like us confessing the Apostolic Creed here every morning. It's not just empty words. It's the high and mighty miracles and wonders of our living God. See, that's what the Lord has done to you in creation, salvation, and sanctification. Don't forget it. Don't get used to it. Don't just ramble it off. It shows you why your connection to the living God lets you walk confidently, with trust, and without fear into the future. Because he's in control, and he does what he wants for you and your salvation. You see, God has done great things for you, to each one of us, already back there in holy baptism, through his holy word which he preaches to us by the most holy testament of his very precious, most holy body and blood too. Therefore, fear the living God, the God Jehovah, the Lord of hosts. Sabaoth is his name, the Father, Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who brought Israel out of Egypt and Babylon. Who redeemed the world on Golgotha when the only begotten Son of God, the Son of David, Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mother Mary, was crucified. Serve him with all faithfulness, with gladness and joy, with dedication and with your whole heart, with all your strength and power, with all your mind, body and soul. You shall fear, love and trust him above all things and nothing else. Whether up in the sky, down on earth, or even under the ground, in the deep waters, or in the dark caves of the world. Don't pray to them. Don't worship them. Don't serve them either. Throw away the God of your ancestors. Your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord only. Forget about the ancestors. You might call them Patimo or the Amaklosi. And that high place of local idolatry just across the road here called Freedom Park, which does not guarantee freedom, but is the old, vain way of the fathers. Empty, destructive, and self-serving, really. Nothing else than a realm of past spirits and idols and dead people who can't help you. Don't look back, therefore. Don't be caught up by this old, vain, and destructive and self-serving ways which some try to revitalize in this or that renaissance. Don't expect salvation from the world, because that world needs salvation itself. It can't help itself. It's doomed. It can't help you either. Don't look at your own navel, into your deepest soul. There's no help forthcoming. It's just a can of worms. Luther calls it, ich alter Madensack, old can of worms. Rather look up towards Jesus Christ, the founder and perfecter of your faith. He is our Lord and Savior alone, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Remember Moses and me, Joshua, and my household, the faithful apostles, prophets, martyrs, and holy saints, forgiven sinners. We will serve the Lord today and all the days of our life, just like Job, whom we heard, in good and in bad times, because the Lord gave it and the Lord took it. The name of the Lord be praised. And they did. That's the one holy Christian church throughout the ages that lives by the grace of God through the forgiveness of all her sins, waits for the resurrection of the dead and a life everlasting. They are a holy people, sanctified and made holy by God's miracles and wonders. He called them through the holy gospel to Jesus Christ and the true faith and trust in him. He has called them from all nations, races and classes, from across the continents, from the ends of the world, like the congregation gathered here in chapel. Throughout the ages, this church has struggled against the false prophets, the evil kings, and the faithless people and masses. That was Jeremiah's fate against the scumbag priest Pashur, or that false prophet Hananiah, who was very much in cohorts with the kings and powers that be at that time. Jeremiah was just a dismal old figure, but he was the true prophet of the Lord, preaching the truth. They said, the others, trust in your battlements, trust in your allies, trust in all and everything. You'll be safe. Don't worry. Be happy. Peace. Peace. But there was no peace. The true and faithful prophet Jeremiah warned, you're forgetting the one and only God. This can't be right. It will end in disaster. And so it did. Jeremiah died in exile in Egypt, far away, carried away as prisoner in chains by the powers that be, who were looking for life and salvation outside of God's promises. Jeremiah suffered the death of a martyr, but his life and words remain a true witness, even for us. And one day, we will sit at the same table with him again. pointing us to the true and living God and his most holy will and good promises. Just like the Apostle St. Paul, he is the one missionary who stood up against the Judaizers, the majority in the church of Galatia at that time, one against many. It's how the gospel of God often works, depends on one man, like Athanasius, against all those Arians. He was cast into exile how many times? And still we confess with the one holy true Christian church the Athanasian Creed even today. Because that theology survived. It was the theology of the true living God. It's not necessarily the theology of the majority, the shining and glorified theology, which says things which are not in relation to the truth, at least not in the proper relation. The theologians of the cross say as it is, pointing us to the true and living God and his most holy will and good promises. Just like the Apostle Paul, he's the one missionary who said to the Galatians, if you limp on both sides, if you hope to improve your godly standing as justified sinners by the forgiveness through Jesus Christ by your own doing, be it circumcision or some self-found rule and higher order of salvation, like those of monks and nuns seeking higher graces and degrees of sanctification through poverty, celibacy, human obedience, you've lost Christ. The promise of his gospel, his gifts bestowed on you by holy baptism, gone, missing. Whoever preaches a gospel different from the one, even if it was an angel, he would stand accursed, have no part in salvation, but would fall back into sin, death, and the power of the devil. Remember St. John the Baptist? He witnessed against the mighty King Herod, it is not right that you have your brother or sister. We could alternate with what is not right and against God's command. It is not right that you have 5 wives and father 20 children, even with the daughters of your friends, not only because they are underage and you HIV positive. It's not right because you already have a wife. That's enough. Good, right, and salutary. So it's not right that you forsake your wife and abandon your children, that they grow up fatherless, homeless, destitute, that you call marriage what is reserved for the union of man and wife, that you forget that life is holy and can't be taken, neither in the womb by grievous assault and bodily harm to both mother and child in abortion, not because of frailty, loss of memory and bodily control, old age, even if it gets the wonderful renaming of euthanasia. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Good death. Or in German, Gnadentod. Death by grace. What a misnomer. It's not right. It's against God's will. And so the Baptist lost his head. Cut off because of the king's promise. Herod was more afraid of losing face before his friends than to go against the will of the living God. It is not right. And Jesus Christ himself, whoever does not confess me, I will not confess before the Father. He who does not acknowledge me, I will not acknowledge in the final judgment. Then he's lost. For there's only way to the Father and salvation and everlasting life in the light of God. That is through this one Jesus Christ, our only Lord and Savior. He's the way, truth, and the light. To him be all glory and honor, praise and thanks, now and forever. Amen. And the peace of our Lord, which passes all understanding, bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.